Amen. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. Y'all sound like y'all want to have church. Glory to God. It's a new season.
Yes, Lord.
It's a new day. We're still branches to the vine, connecting intentionally, intelligently, infinitively. And now we have been connecting to the Christ. We connected to the cross. We connected to the church. And today we begin this new series of connecting to the community. Bless the wonderful name of Jesus. Y'all should have heard it all in the testimony, how we have a responsibility even to our community. I want to begin our reading in verse number 1, 2 Kings. Chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1.
Amen, amen.
Good to see Sister Mahasha Jones this morning.
Bless
the Lord for you. It's wonderful to see people you be praying for. This story is a rather familiar passage, and we're praying that you might hear it again for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord.
Yes.
And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.
Yes.
And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil.
Come on, Lord.
Then he said, Oh, go borrow other vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few.
Mm-hmm.
And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full.
Mm-hmm.
So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out.
Yeah.
And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed.
Madam.
Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live that thou and thy children of the rest.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Jesus.
Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what hast thou in the house?
Yes.
She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. I want to talk to us from the subject, blessings from the inside out.
All right.
It's going to be our series for this last season of the year, blessings from the inside out. So many times we can become overwhelmed. We have feelings of inadequacy. We don't know how we're going to go forward because it seems like we keep going backwards.
Yeah.
We find ourselves in the text, there's a problem.
Yeah.
My girl got a problem right here in the text. But can I tell you, every time you have a problem, God has a plan.
Yes, he does.
God has a plan because God has promised that he will take care of you.
Amen.
Yeah, that there it is. There's a problem. Look at the text. I'm going real quickly. There was a woman. It says that there's called a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha.
Yeah.
you know, the right hand to Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the first part of her problem. She said, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know how he did. You know how he handled himself. And the creditors are coming now to take my children, slaves. Mm-hmm. I tell you, you get to the place of overwhelmingness, the place of inadequacy. You get right there. You get to a place where it is as if you don't have enough. And life has a way, y'all, of saddling us with feelings of disappointment and disillusionment and even depression.
Yeah.
Disaffection. That's our reality from time to time. But I don't know about you, but there may be some that seems like that's your reality much of the time. Mm-hmm. Truth is, my brothers and sisters, what you have, hear me, what you have is more than enough to move you from where you are to where God has destined for you to be. Yeah, all you have to do is make up in your mind that I'm going to go with God.
Yes.
Yeah, in the words of the text, what you need is in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
It's in your house.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no need to be stressed or stress yourself out, worrying yourself into a depression. All you need to do is to take on life's problem with God's plan and move forward to receive God's promise.
Yeah,
that's all I come to tell you today. Right there, you ought to take that and run. Can I tell the story from verse number 1? Here is this woman. She comes to the man of God, and watch how she approaches him. She says, thy servant. Look, push pause. She does not want to run too quickly to help you understand her problem.
Right.
She says, not only do I have a problem, but you have a problem.
Yes.
Your servant is dead. Now, every now and then people come to you and they got their problem, and you might need to push pause and find out how their problem really affects you. Because most of the time, that's why they coming to you with it in the first place. Well, how does your problem affect me? She says, thy servant. And this she says, my husband is dead.
Yeah.
She doesn't just stop there and go to whining and crying. She says, look at here, I need to remind you, she reminds Elisha, of her husband's faithful dedication.
Yes.
But somehow, Prophet Coleman, the prophet had fallen, I don't understand it, somehow the prophet had fallen into some financial trouble.
Come on here.
Somehow, the prophet had fallen into some financial trouble.
Yeah.
So much so that the creditors was coming to take her sons for slaves.
Yes.
I guess to work off the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when the debt been paid off, they're going to still be working.
That's right.
So when she finishes telling her story, Elisha asked her in Jackson's translation, what do you want me to do?
Right.
I mean, kind of like I got a call this past week and told me that, Pastor, I need your help. Got a snake in the house. What am I supposed to do? But I went down there with a stick and a shovel. I want to do the best I could. He says, what do you want me to do? And before she answers anything, immediately he asks her the $1 million question.
That's it.
What do you have
in the house?
In the house.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, with hope, because the man of God is asking her a question, and hopelessness. She's got hope and hopelessness because she has no way of paying off her debt.
Right.
This is all going on the inside of her. The woman replies, I don't have anything except a jar of oil. So begins the miracle story that reminds us that even when life leaves you feeling inadequate and overcome, you ought to remember that you have something still. The widow follows Elisha's instructions, and in doing so discovers that what she needs is already in the house. Yeah, she has a problem, but God has a plan. Did you hear me what I said? I said she has a problem. It's an overwhelming problem, but God has a plan. And as she follows God's plan, she will realize God's promise. You know how they would say it. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wing of love, abide. God will take care of you. Elisha begins to lay out the plan. There is a jar of oil that the woman in our text already has
in the house.
In the house.
Yes, Lord.
So what is it about this jar of oil that she already has in the house? If we take a little trip to the original language of the text, it helps us to answer this question. The underlying Hebrew makes it clear that both the jar and the oil in it were very special. The jar in the Hebrew, or sukkah, a word used only here in the Old Testament, and it's the root word where we get to anoint.
Okay.
It contained holy anointing oil. That special mixture of oil and spices, the recipe that you find in Exodus chapter 30. This holy anointing oil was to be used only, solely, exclusively by the priest as part of worship.
Yeah.
And under Old Testament law, misuse of the sacred oil was punishable by death. This widow had a little jar of holy anointing oil. But the question is, where'd she get it from? You have to remember, only the priest could use it. So then her deceased husband must have been a priest.
That's right.
Yeah, yes, her husband was a prophet. That's why she went to Elisha in the first place. But in order for her to have a jar of anointing oil, her husband also had to be a priest. She has nothing left in the house. I don't know why ain't nothing left in the house. I don't know if she had to sell stuff, try to keep the creditors at bay, but everything is gone. All I got is this jar, this pot of oil. Nothing anybody would want. So she would think, couldn't use it. Might not have been much of it either. And that was all her husband of his legacy that was left, this little pot of oil. But can I tell you, it was all she had, and still with God, it was all that she needed. It was still more than enough. And so I tell you, though you have a problem, God has a plan to lead you to his promise. Look at the text there. He says, tell me what you have in the house. And so basically he's saying to her, you've got to take some inventory. That first part of the plan, you got to take inventory. She said, your servant, your maid servant, all I have in the house, I have nothing except this little jar, this little pot of oil. And so her path to victory in the face of overwhelming odds begins when she takes inventory of what she already has.
Yeah.
Note the question of the prophet, y'all. What do you have in the house?
In the house.
He was reminding her then, and he's reminding us now that your past is not relevant when it comes to the future that God has planned for you. See, y'all don't know when to shout right there. He says, I need to help you to understand. Whatever went on back yonder, whatever you had back then, I didn't ask you what you had, what your neighbor had, not what your brother had. I want to know what you have
right now.
What do you have in your house now? After the challenges that have left you overwhelmed and at the end of your rope, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your disposal? That's the question that Elisha poses to the widow woman. It is the question we must answer rightly when we face with our own problems.
Yeah.
What do you have now?
Uh-huh.
Can I tell somebody that you ain't lost nothing that you really need?
My Lord.
So he's gone. So she's gone.
Well,
God doesn't need him, her, or it to bless you to fulfill God's plan for your life.
Amen.
Stop running behind people and things and stuff that is gone. Let them stay gone.
Yeah.
What the widow had, past tense, is immaterial. What matters is what she has now. Yeah. After death, after divorce, after layoff, after sickness. What do you have in the house? You still got something. The Lord never leaves us with nothing. God makes certain that we have what we need. If you need it, God's got it. And if he's got it, you can have it. In fact, if you're in relationship with God, you already set up. If you're already in relationship with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, you already been set up. So she takes inventory and discovers that she had a little jar of anointing oil. And that was all she needed. Then the text tells us she had to do some investigation. I said, you got to take inventory, but you got to investigate. Can you imagine going door to door? That's what the prophet said. Go to the neighbors. She got to go door to door. Like the Girl Scout cookies, girls. You know, go door to door. You running door to door and find that the neighbors had some empty jars and some empty pots too. Remember, she is the widow of a priest.
Yes.
And because her deceased husband was a priest. And because priests lived in separate communities in ancient Israel, her home would have been located in a neighborhood of priests.
Come on now.
Y'all stay with me. The priests in the neighborhood would all have had need of anointing oil in their work.
Mm-hmm.
And that, my brothers and sisters, is exactly what the woman in the text had in her house. But it wasn't until she talked to her neighbors that she would have become aware that most of them had empty jars that needed to be filled with the same kind of oil that she had in her house. Did I tell you she had to go out into the community to find out what was going on in the community? Priestly families would pay good money for the oil that she was holding on to. The oil that she didn't give any value to. She said, I just got a pot of oil. And if she had not been willing to go talk to her neighbors, she would have been unable to change her situation. Some of us got what we need to make it. We got it. Some of us got what we need to make it, but we've missed the opportunity to see God multiply it because we won't put it to use in the way God has designated it. If you want to see God do the miraculous with what he has given you, you need to take that what God has given and do what God says to do with it.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. Investigate. Look at it. She finds out that who has empty vessels.
Uh-huh.
Find out who needs what God has given her.
Thank you.
You gotta find out who needs what God has given to you. Final step in the plan is employing. It's there in verses 4-6 of our text. Elijah tells the woman, then go and shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring out the oil in all these vessels. And when all of them is full, set them aside. And the writer of the text notes when the vessels were full, then the oil stopped flowing.
Yes, indeed.
Look, she's still ready to pour. She said, bring me another one. And he said, ain't no more. And then the oil quit. I said, you got to employ the plan of God. This is the last part of the plan. What do you mean, preacher, about employ the plan of God? Well, I mean, you got to put in the work.
Yes.
That's what I'm telling you. Carrying out the work of God's plan. The employ phase, y'all, is an inside job. Mm. You got to go inside and shut the door.
Yes.
Notice the people from whom she borrowed the vessels are not invited to the execution of God's plan for her life. You might have gave me a job. You might have gave me a pot, but you cannot come and participate while the blessings of God are being poured out on you. Don't y'all miss it? Employing the plan that God reveals to you is an inside job.
Yes.
It's between you and God.
Yes.
You got to do the work. And if we would experience the blessing of God, we need to learn how to go in, shut the door behind ourselves, and follow the plan of God.
That's right.
Yeah, take what God gave you in the house and work with it in the house alongside people who belong to the house. People who share the urgency of your vision and the need to overcome the challenge. Sometimes our problem is that we got too many outsiders on the inside handling our oil.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Only thing the neighbors, the outsiders are good for is for supplying the widow with the vessels that she needs to carry out God's plan for her life. And don't get me wrong, however, those who participate in God's plan for you will be blessed.
Yeah.
But outsiders are not supposed to be in the house.
That's right.
When God is working out the miracle in your life. Stop inviting outsiders to see what God intends to do for you as an inside job.
Yeah.
Go in, shut the door, let the Lord deal with you one-on-one.
Yeah.
Without distractions. That's all y'all is. It's distractions. Glory to the Lamb of God. He says, you got to implement something. Take inventory. Do the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Employ God's plan.
Yeah.
And finally, implement God's plan. I'm in verse 7. And I'm through. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go. Sell the oil and pay thy debt.
Yes, Lord.
And live thou and thy children of the rest.
Yeah.
I know you ain't getting it, but I'm gonna try to help you. Look, she borrowed vessels from her neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And now she is going to sell the oil in those borrowed vessels to pay off her debt.
Thank you, Jesus.
But Reverend, what about the people from whom the vessels she borrowed these vessels?
Uh-huh.
Is she just going and to steal those vessels from the people and claim that the Lord done blessed them? Y'all know how we do. but remember the background of the text. The vessels were borrowed from neighbors.
Uh-huh.
The neighbors who were priests. And those vessels were now filled with the anointing oil that could only be used by the priests. Y'all stay with me. That means then that the widow woman could return the borrowed vessels by selling the oil to the very people from whom she borrowed the vessel. God does not bless us by having us take advantage of other people.
That's right.
No, if you're going to lie, cheat, and steal to accomplish the work of the ministry, what you're doing is not ministry.
No.
God had given her what she needed and placed her in a context where that which God had given could be shared with her community.
Yes.
for the benefit of everybody. God will take what you have to bless you and others. Shout moment right there. I said you got to take inventory. There must be some investigation. You got to employ the plan of God, but then you got to implement the plan of God. And as the widow followed the plan of God, God was able to fix her problem and the problem of those around her. The people got back their vessels. She borrowed with the oil that they needed. The woman got enough money to pay off her debt. And God is so gracious. Did y'all read in the text? I was the only one that was able to see it. I don't know. She said, the text says that God has been so gracious. That not only was she able to pay off all her debt, that the text says that her and the boys could live off the rest. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. All because she followed the plan of God. She now has enough to pay for her debt. The one that the creditor was coming to take her boys. And she would really be alone. But not only that, she don't even have to worry about going to work no more.
Amen.
I'm telling you really don't know when to shout. She said, I trusted God. And as I trusted him, he blessed me. He blessed everybody in the neighborhood. And I got blessings that are coming from years and years to come. Because I trusted in the Lord Jesus, I no longer have to worry about debt. I no longer have to worry about lack. I no longer have to suffer anything. It's going to be with me forever. Even when it seems you ain't got much, you're never down to nothing. I know it may seem like life has just left you empty-handed. But never forget that you always have the presence of God. Hear me. It was no accident that the anointing oil was all that was left. That's no minor detail. In the Hebrew liturgy, the anointing oil represented the presence of God.
Yes.
And so what the widow woman had was a pot. She had a jar of sacred oil that was understood to typify God's presence.
Yeah.
Y'all still ain't got it. The jar of oil in her house stands as a symbol of the reality of God's continuing and continual presence in her life. Yes, her husband is dead. Yes, she's bankrupt. But God was with her. Glory to the Lamb of God. Did you hear me? I've seen the lightning flash. Heard the thunder roll. Seen breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But then I heard the voice of Jesus. Said he never leave me. Never leave me alone. That ain't enough for you. The hymn writer said, just ask the Savior to help me. Comfort, strengthen, and keep me. Jesus is willing to aid you. And he will carry you through. I tell you, y'all, there are blessings that come from the inside out. While you're worried about trying to get a blessing for you,
Jesus,
understand that you are to be a blessing to somebody else. So that means that you, when you bless from the inside out, that means you have already been blessed to be a blessing. And as you are being a blessing, blessings overtake you. Blessings keep coming back at you. There was a problem. Woman husband was dead. Elisha's servant was dead. Problem was creditors was coming to get her boys. But God had a plan. He had a plan not only to take care of the creditors, take care of the community, but to take care of her and them boys for life. Because he had promised never to leave her alone.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go to Calvary so we can go home from here. There was a man named Jesus. And he showed up around here. And can I tell you, it wasn't his problem. It was our problem. There was a problem that had come on the earth. And God said, I need somebody to go back and redeem man unto myself. A wretched place it was. He said that's the problem I have. And so what's the plan? God, I heard Jesus say, prepare me a body that I might go down and redeem man. Because the promise was that we are to have life and to have it more abundantly. I thank God that though he looked at a problem, he might look at my problem, and every problem that I have, he has a plan for it. And I thank God that as he looks and works his plan, as I work within that plan, his promise to me is that he will supply my every need.
Yes, he will.
That he is more than enough. Greater in me is he than that is in the world. I got great promises that he's given to me. And so I'm going to take the blessings that he gives me, and I'm going to let them that have been blessed on the inside be carried out on the outside, so that you, even you, can be blessed by the one who has blessed me. Would you grab a hold today and begin to think about the blessings that you have received from God, and see how it is that you can bless somebody else. There's somebody. They're not always going to come to you. The text says she had to go out there and find them to see who needed what she had. I know you ain't going to do it, because you're going to sit there and pour it out. You guys and be like you are. I understand that. I just kind of challenge you.
Put it out there.
Yeah, I just kind of challenge you, as the word has challenged me, to see how I can be a blessing with the blessings that I have received in this season. As we go forth in this last quarter, we've got to learn how to be a blessing to our community. We got to take the blessings that you have received in here and carry them out there, that those who have the need of what we have will be blessed. Because Jesus, he took time to die so that you could live. He let them bury him so you could live. But the Father wouldn't let him stay there. He raised him up and gave him all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And watch this, my brothers and sisters. The blessing of power is yours.
Come on now.
To everyone who would believe. To everyone who would receive it. Blessings from the inside out. God bless you today as we stand.